we've been discussing that in a kosher kitchen, we have to have separate milk and meat, a milk and meat counter, and milk and meat towels, and milk and meat gloves. When we're cooking, so we have to take care with the steam also, that the steam shouldn't mix. So if I'm cooking meat in a pot, and I want to take out noodles that I'm going to put cheese on, I've boiled parv noodles, I shouldn't take them over the steam coming out of the fleshic pot. The same thing would be, I mean, either way, milk to meat, meat to milk, we have to take care with the steam. We also have to take care with boiling liquids, meaning let's say you have the chon down the pot, or you have the chon down the plata on Shabbos, and you want to add hot water. So we don't pour directly from the parv pot into the chon, because we say that flavor goes up the liquid as well. The second you have nitzot, you have one constant flow of liquid, so then technically the flavor, when the liquid touches the meat, so the liquid becomes meat, and the flavor spreads through the liquid. So if you did it, talk to your local Orthodox rabbi. But lechatchila, ideally, when we want to transfer liquid into the chon pot, we don't pour it directly from a parv pot. You're going to use the water in that chaynik for making coffee with milk, right? That water is going to be used for milchik. So lechatchila, ideally, we don't do that. Yeah.
I have a question. Would the 1/60th rule not apply because you're doing it?
1/60th is all bidyevet. Is all after the fact. Uh-huh. How lenient can we be?
Okay.
So then we say, is there a 60th? Isn't there a 60th? That's all after the fact.
Okay.
But ideally, we ensure that the things do not mix. So if you're dealing with meat, you have to make sure there's no oil, grease left on your hands. If you're dealing with cheese, when cheese warms, so then there's grease left, the cheese gets greasy. The grease from the cheese is also milchik. The grease from the meat is fleishik. We have to be careful with that, to the extent that salt shakers, we know we have separate meat, milk, and parv salt shakers. But even when it comes to pitchers on the table, ideally we should have a separate water pitcher for milk and meat. I don't know why no one does that nowadays. And it's brought in halacha that ideally, because when we touch the pitcher, our hands are dirty during the meal, so you're going to end up having meat and milk going from the pitcher to your hand, from your hand to the pitcher. I don't know why. Maybe today we're cleaner. They used to eat with their hands more than we do. I mean, if you think of the Middle East, here where people dip their pita into the hummus, and they don't use a knife so much, so you push things onto your fork.
Yeah.
With a piece of bread, of course, but at the end of the day, your hands get all greasy. We do less of that.
What about if you... I don't know a lot about kashrut, but what if you wash the pitcher with like cold water or something?
So we rely on that. We don't even have two pitchers. Most people, you know, you buy a bottle of Tropicana, you buy a bottle of orange juice, you put it on the table, irrespective of what meal you're having it at. Today, for whatever reason, people are not careful with that, and I'm not saying we should be. I'm just saying we should have perspective that we have to be careful with grease on our hands.
Okay.
That our hands are clean when we deal with the foods of, I mean, they could have milk on them when I'm dealing with milchik items, and meat on them when I'm dealing with meat items. But if I'm going to go over to making a salad, which I'm going to eat at the other meal, so then ideally I should be careful. If I'm going to make parv things, and which are going to be used at both meals, so then I have to be careful that my hands are also parv.
Today there was chicken in hefker, and I ate chicken, and I wanted to know what I should have done to be able to drink from this and keep this mug parv.
Nothing. I mean, so long as you don't feel that you have any chicken left in your mouth.
I scraped it off my lips a little bit.
If you just ate the meat, so then you eat something to clean out your mouth. You drink something. But if you didn't just eat the meat, we assume it doesn't stick around too long.
Is that like just slosh water in your mouth and spit it out in the sink?
That's fine. That's fine. That's assuming you just ate it. If you ate something else in the interim, so that cleans out the mouth.
Anything.
It doesn't matter. Because here we're not talking about meat and milk and things like that.
No, just to be able to keep this part.
Right. So that's okay. Yeah. I'm with you.
Even if it's a glass water.
So glass we'll get to. Wait, one step at a time, slowly. We're working our way, slowly. When it comes to ovens, doing meat, milk in an oven, So at the same time, we don't do meat and milk. And if you're going to be purchasing an oven, so before you purchase an oven, consult with your local Orthodox rabbi. Purchasing a used oven can be slightly problematic. Not every oven can be kashered. And different rabbis have different opinions as to what may and may not be done in an oven. Meaning, if you always cook your stuff closed, can you have meat closed? I mean, you cover the tin with tin foil and then burn out the oven, or wait 24 hours and then do milk, and vice versa. There are different opinions as to how we do that. And what if you want to do open dishes? So again, there are opinions, and each one will have to consult with their local Orthodox rabbi. I can't go into that. Should we do a little more?
Yeah.
This is my chavrusa with him. You guys are all innocent bystanders.
Okay.
More? Yeah? Okay. When we have trays in the oven, so if a person... okay, we're going to skip the whole idea of the oven, and we'll leave that. Each one will ask their own rabbi. No, because there are so many details.
Okay.
Self-cleaning, not self-cleaning, microwave.
Maybe you should finish now and then begin with oven. Without skipping. Okay.
Okay.
You also now
no, no, no. I'm not going to go into the oven next time either. I can't touch that. Because each one will ask their own rabbi. There are too many opinions when it comes to ovens, and there are too many details in the oven. Toaster oven, self-cleaning oven, Israeli oven, and there are different opinions. Even if you take a classical oven, we're not even talking about a microwave. And
now we have a microwave. First of all, we should learn about microwave.
Okay, so microwave.
It's microwave. At every step, microwave. We are all using microwave.
Technically,
on the wall, on the drop in the microwave.
We keep the microwave closed with two covers. Whatever you do in the microwave should be closed, preferably with two covers. If you're going, but here also, I know there are rabbis that are more lenient, that they say it's enough one cover, so long as the steam doesn't get out.
Yeah, if I put plastic, we are using special plastic box for microwave oven.
Right,
it's
the question
closed,
is that
closed.
Enough or do you need two? So again, most people have a more lenient tradition than I have. That's why I don't want you guys to be stuck with my more stringent tradition on these matters. In all of this, I have a more stringent tradition. I don't want, you guys don't need to do that. And I can't say things that are not my tradition.
Yeah, I saw one
right. Do like
closed,
you do. Closed,
like, tightly closed plastic box.
You're fine. Do what you're doing.
Dry and clean outside.
Oh, so you have to keep the microwave clean and dry, right. But
and
that's
this
why
box outside also, in
right.
These boxes here. And separate boxes for milk and for flesh, of course.
Right. Okay, so beyond that, again, I don't want to touch it. There's no reason you guys should should do my
bags work.
Each one will ask the local Dutch rabbis. Sorry, yeah.
In a sense of kashrut,
sure.
Is something that your wife would be more well versed in, I would imagine, than the man. Is that true? I mean, is it necessary that the man is as? I mean, there's certain things which are common sense based upon this is what the message of the wife is taking.